This is going to sound a little bit like a riddle, but it's really not. It goes like this. Most of my neighbors have one. I have 10. Some of you have hundreds. What am I talking about? Well, if you've picked up a little bit on the theme for the morning, it's trees. Most of my neighbors in our development just have one tree planted either by the developer or by the city, I'm not sure. But I have 10 trees in my yard, half of which I've planted. Most of them are maples. Some of you may live in a wooded area where you're surrounded by hundreds of trees. Well, this is also a little bit of a riddle. How many times do you think the word tree or trees occurs in the Bible? I'm not going to take guesses, but I'm just going to tell you what the answer is. About 300. Tree or trees, those words occur about 300 times in Scripture, plus a few references to bushes or forests. Walk with me through the forest of Scripture. Just some of the many references to trees in the Bible. In Genesis 1, the creation of trees, along with many other things. In Genesis 2 and 3, reference made to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. In Exodus 3, Moses encounters God in a burning bush. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah runs away from Queen Jezebel and takes shade in either a juniper or broom tree, it's called, in 1 Kings 19. Psalm 1 calls us to be like a tree, flourishing and fruitful. Isaiah 44, a man cuts down a tree, cuts it in half, makes half of it into an idol, the other half he cuts up into firewood. Now, when I read that story, I always think, what if he got the halves mixed up and he's worshiping his firewood and bowing down before a pile of lumber. In Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar dreams about a tree that was cut down, banded, and then the prophet says, you are that man, you are the tree. In the New Testament, John 1, Jesus is collecting his disciples, and one of them comes to him, Nathanael by name, and Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. In Luke 19, Jesus encounters Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree. In Romans 11, the object of an olive tree, a wild olive tree and a natural olive tree are set before us. And Paul is writing there about how Jews and Gentiles now are part of the family of God because some of the wild olive branches are grafted into the natural olive tree. In James chapter 3, James writes about the dangers of the tongue, and he compares that to how a whole forest can be set on fire by a tiny spark. And in Revelation chapter 22, we encounter again the tree of life that we met way back in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, imagine having a series of sermons, let's say throughout the summertime, in which the pastor uses the tree as an object for a summer nature sermon series. So, one sermon is about a fig tree, a broom tree, a sycamore tree. Then we get near the end of the summer, and perhaps it's Communion Sunday. And the text is the same as ours this morning, where it says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Not just a sycamore, a fig, a broom tree, but on the tree. The tree. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's kind of an interesting passage of Scripture where the practical stuff is laid out first. And then we get to kind of the biblical motivation where it calls us in verse 21 to follow Jesus' example. And in verse 24, our text, why Jesus is worthy to be followed in his steps because he took our sins upon himself all the way to the tree, the cross. 1 Peter 2, therefore rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Perhaps you notice in verse 24, the word cross is in these pew Bibles. The word tree is on the screen. There's a reason for that. This edition of the NIV kind of took it a step further and translated not only the word for wood to tree, but from tree to cross. That's what it means, of course. But the original word is tree. And you find that in King James, Revised Standard, and in the earlier editions of the NIV. And that's what we're using this morning as well. Probably not. Probably not. That sounds like an answer. What's the question? Well, there perhaps are lots of questions that are answered with probably not. Do you understand how that Artemis spaceship lifted off the ground and entered into space and swirled around the Earth and then all the way to the moon, the backside of the moon, and came back and landed, splash landed in the Pacific Ocean within a small window of time exactly the time that they predicted it, days, weeks, maybe even months ago? Do you understand that? Probably not. Do you understand where your electricity comes from? Well, you turn on the switch or plug in something, and it's there. But what generator and where is that generator located that causes that spark to make your lights come on? Do you have any idea? Probably not. I had milk on cereal this morning for breakfast. Do I have any idea where that cow lives? In what county or even in what state that produced the milk that put on my cereal this morning? Probably not. When you look at your furniture, or even some of the pulpit furniture, the pews and so on, you have any idea where that tree grew, these oak trees, to make this oak wood? You have any idea? Was it even in the state of Michigan? I don't know. Do you know? Probably not. Speaking of wood, do you have any idea what the manger, the Bethlehem manger, was made out of? Wood? From some tree? Where did that tree grow? Do you all know? You have any idea? Probably not. Or how about the tree referred to in our text this morning in 1 Peter 2:24? Where was that tree planted? How many years did it take to grow? Where? You have any idea? Probably not. There's a connection between the manger and the cross, of course. Probably not the same type of wood. No one knows. We don't know. But there's a connection. 33 years must have separated those two events, the Bethlehem manger and the cross of Calvary. But they're connected, aren't they? They're connected because we say Jesus was born to die. He came to earth to die on that tree, a tree that became the tree of all trees. A couple of weeks ago, Jill and I were on a little road trip, especially focusing on Arkansas, of all places, and Mississippi. What did it cost to be on the road for 9 days? I don't know. I could add up the expenses, I suppose, from our credit card statement and so on, but I don't want to know. Do I know? Probably not. When we plan or take a big trip, a fair amount of time goes into that planning, some expense as well. No one can measure, however, how big a deal this trip from of our Lord from heaven to earth was. It was a huge deal. God entered our atmosphere. You saw it on TV a couple nights ago, right, with a spaceship entering our atmosphere. God entered our atmosphere and came to this earth. God became man. A song, if that isn't love, says it so well. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, God became man, knowing his destiny was the tree. Knowing and experiencing the humiliation that comes with a divine being becoming a human being on this earth. I mean, how would you like to become a flea, an ant, or a grub? The humiliation of our Lord was far greater than that. God became man. Knowing the rejection of his own people that was to come, he came unto his own to save them, John writes in chapter 1, verse 11. But his own did not receive him. Verse 7 in this passage of scripture this morning, Peter writes that Jesus became the stone which the builders rejected. Rejected! The Savior of the world. Rejected by his own. And their rejection turned into hatred. They made death threats upon him. They attempted to throw him off a cliff. They attempted to stone him to death multiple times. They were not satisfied until they secured his crucifixion on the tree. His own were offended by him. He didn't meet their expectations of the promised Messiah. They wanted a mighty king, a conqueror after the likes of King David, not a humble king that loved and accepted everyone. Peter calls him a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. It was true. Jesus offended them. He exposed their hypocrisy. He condemned their self-righteousness. He taught as one with authority, showing up their own scribes and teachers of the law. Because of the offense that they felt, because Jesus told the truth about their religiosity, they hated him to the core. They couldn't wait to silence him. And in some strange way, that's pretty much what happened. He was silent. Peter writes, when he was reviled, they did not revile in return. He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Next, when Peter quotes from Isaiah 53, we are reminded of that statement in that passage that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He took everything they dished out, suffered silently, even to a great extent on the tree. 7 short statements. But the rest of those 6 hours, silent. He was betrayed by one of the 12. Judas, can you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He was denied by one of the 12, who was even closer to him, one of the inner circle of 3, Peter, James, and John. He was abused with greater cruelty than the other 2 who were sentenced to crucifixion on that same day. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They spit on him. They slapped him. They taunted him. Before he was even nailed to the tree, they tortured him in ways that are painful for us even to imagine or describe. And then the most painful of all, the crucifixion itself. Designed to be the ultimate in public humiliation, but also the ultimate in slow and painful death on the tree. Now, for 33 years, our Savior knew this was in store. Perhaps it was near the beginning of his public ministry, for it's recorded in only the 3rd chapter of John, where Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew this was coming. He knew it would be no picnic. He knew the pain in that place on the tree. Finally, on the ultimate Black Friday, what Jesus had known all his life, even from eternity, came true. He was lifted up. Well, that doesn't sound so bad. He was lifted up on the tree. Even that doesn't sound so bad. No, he was nailed to that tree. He suffered pain beyond our human description and imagination. Now, if you think of all the millions and millions and millions of trees in the world, this one stands out and will always stand out. The tree of Calvary. Now, our Lord's death on the tree was an event. It was an event. It happened. This is one way to describe it, I suppose. It was an event. It happened one day in ancient history, 2,000 years ago. It happened. It was simply an event, unfortunately forgettable by many of those who were there that day, even for those Roman soldiers who actually pounded the nails through Jesus' hands and feet. It was just another crucifixion. At the end of the day, they perhaps washed the blood off their hands, congratulated each other, maybe even slapped each other on the back, and so on. See you tomorrow, Julius. More crucifixions, no doubt. Same time, same place, just an event. The Bible disagrees. This was not just an event. This was the tree. This was the event. This was not just another crucifixion. This was the crucifixion. This crucifixion didn't just happen. It was planned. Part of God's eternal plan from all the ages. The tree was the culmination of God's eternal plan for the salvation of the world. Forgiveness of sins was taking place. The guilt of the world, a lost and dying world, was taking place. This was the tree out of millions and millions and millions of trees in the world. This one was unique. It will always be unique. There would never, ever be another like it. This tree would stood in a place that would go down in history forever. This tree became the tree of eternal significance. You know, if you think the California redwoods are something, and they are, believe me, they are something. They've been around for a long time. That's true. Some of them have stood there for hundreds of years. But they are seedlings compared to the tree, this tree. And besides, what have the California redwoods ever done for you? Nothing, right? Nothing other than to enjoy. But on the tree, our Savior died. He took our place, died for our sins. Our text highlights both. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, took our place. Our place. We call him a substitute, the substitute, our substitute. We deserved what he got, and he endured the pain and suffering that we have coming, that we had coming, that we deserved. And all of this is just the beginning, because Peter adds the words of our text, by his stripes, we are healed. Healed. Amazing. Remember Ebola about a decade ago or so? Not only the terrible threat to thousands of people in West Africa especially, but three American missionaries who contracted that disease while helping and treating others, not completely overlooked, of course, but not emphasized enough, is the fact that these missionary doctors put themselves in harm's way, as we say, to help others with serious medical problems. Unfortunately, the diseases of those people affected them and attacked their own bodies, much like COVID has done to our medical community more recently, in a far more significant way. Jesus did the same. Our text. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes, by whose wounds, we are healed. Healed. Thanks to the tree of all trees. Thanks to Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul here understood the depth of the significance of the tree as well. He wrote to the Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This mention of the curse takes us back, of course, to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? When our first parents committed the original sin by eating from that forbidden tree. God pronounced a fourfold curse. God had warned them, if you sin, you will die physically, die spiritually. Their sin would send them to hell forever. All this was part of the curse. But our Savior hung on the tree to take that curse away, to take that curse upon himself, but also to take that curse all from us by hanging on the tree. Rejected by men, then exalted by God for doing so. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Rejected by men, but honored by God for taking the curse from us unto himself. Honored by God, exalted by Christians. Thank you, Lord, for taking my place. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Rejected by his own, exalted by his Father, and now thanked by Christians in all generations worldwide. Now, our scripture lesson doesn't just remind us of these truths, and they are wonderful truths, aren't they? But calls us and challenges us to do something more. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Something more. Yes, the inspired writer reminds us of the extent of Jesus' suffering. That's true. The very apostle who objected to Jesus' suffering at all. Remember in the upper room, the 12 disciples were gathered there for the Last Supper. Jesus told him that he would be handed over to the authorities, he would be tortured and abused and crucified. And Peter objected, never, he said, I will not let that happen. Don't say those things. And Jesus said to him, Peter, get behind me, Satan. It's going to happen. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. And now in this epistle, Peter, of all people, Peter reminds us how much Jesus' suffering. He was reviled, Peter writes. He suffered. He bore our sins. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. But then Peter takes it a step further. Are you with me? Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. An example? I don't know if I like the sounds of that. Do you? An example? I don't know if I want to follow in his steps. Do you? Well, maybe not if those steps include some other kind of tree of suffering. It might. It could. Some Christians in this world today are suffering tremendously because of the Christian faith. We don't hear much about that because the media ignores it, right? The media choose to ignore a lot of this because of the religious nature of some of these events, because they don't want to offend the Muslims, for example, because they don't want it to appear as if they're taking sides in this religious stories. So the media choose to ignore these human atrocities. I mean, do you ever hear about Nigeria? And the massacre of Christians, Muslims show up with guns blazing and kill massive amounts of Christians in their own church. You never hear about it. You never hear about it. But Christians are suffering for their faith, and it could come to us as well. Of course, we hope not, but those who are suffering for their faith today once hope not as well. Meanwhile, we might have to suffer other injustices for our faith. How well has your faith prepared you to suffer in silence like Jesus? To what extent would you and I be able to follow Jesus' example of suffering in silence? Verse 22 says of Jesus, not reviling in return, not threatening those who threaten us, but committing ourselves to him who judges righteously. That's hard. That's just not part of our human nature, is it right? But it may be part of following in Jesus' footsteps. That's hard. Remember, the tree. There's suffering and there's life changes. And Peter has some of that in mind as well in this chapter. For us, a big part of following Jesus' example might just involve several changes to the way that we think, to the way that we relate to others, and to the way that we nurture our own Christian faith. Verse 1, for example, encourages us to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. That's a tall order for some of us, right? I mean, some of us may struggle with deceit. That's not Christ-like. Others favor envy. That's not Christ-like either. Or there's evil speaking. You know who you are. Getting rid of these non-Christ-like habits might be hard, but those who are truly committed to following Jesus' footsteps know they have to go. They have to go. Getting rid of these non-Christ-like habits is hard, but they have to go. Verse 2 encourages us in our spiritual growth. It says, as newborn babes desire, you know, the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow. How can a Christian expect to be more Christ-like unless he spends time in God's word? You know, there's the one book, one body thing going around, right? I hope you're participating in that. It's a good thing. You know, it's still early in the new year, too. How about a New Year's resolution in April? You know, to just make the reading of God's word, a reflection on God's word, a much greater priority. I mean, do you want to grow or not? Do you want to grow? Do you want to become more Christ-like? Then, like a baby craves milk, a follower of Christ desires the milk of God's word. And related is what we find in verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Again, without digging deep into that passage alone, spiritual growth is really encouraged. Most Christians want to be built up in their faith, don't you? I mean, you're not getting younger, right? What are you doing about it now? What are you doing about it now? And if you want more suggestions, well, for following Jesus' example, I suggest just reading through the rest of Peter and related and neighboring passages, of course. Keep reading. Peter grew in his understanding of Jesus' suffering and of his example. So he had much to say about this as well. For to this you are called, Peter writes. You are called because Christ suffered for you. Now follow in his footsteps. We can never go wrong following in Jesus' footsteps. Never. He suffered for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The tree. So in the cross of Christ, we glory, right? Towering o'er the wrecks of time, at the light of sacred story, gathers round its head sublime, bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there who knows no measure, joys that through all time abide. The tree. Of all the trees in the world, of all the trees in the Bible, this one is the one. This is the tree. And as followers of Jesus, we're all blessed, so blessed. And as those who haven't yet committed themselves to follow Jesus, blessings await because of the tree. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for every passage of Scripture, especially those in the Old that point us forward to Jesus and those in the New Testament that point backward to him. The cross, the empty tomb, those topics that we've reflected on deeply in these past few weeks, and now here in the wake of the season of Lent 2026, we're reminded once again of how Jesus left the glories of heaven and entered our atmosphere, entered this world to be one of us, to take the curse upon himself, our curse, to pay with his life for our sins. All we can do is give thanks and commit ourselves to following in his footsteps. Praise be to God. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.